matter what people say. Yeah. We got it going on. Yeah. Who cares about what they did?
You know me. I'm the hottest in the street.
WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats.
Spazzle.
To social issues that cripple the black community. All from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So, a little bad news for the New York City area. Starting tomorrow, indoor dining will be suspended. So, everyone who was enjoying their little coffee breaks outside of their homes, little dinner dates and things of that nature, that is all going to end as of tomorrow. Governor Cuomo stated in a briefing later on last week that the COVID numbers are rising, the hospitalizations are up, the number of deaths are up. And in order to really, you know, put a pause on the spread of this virus, he's shutting down the indoor dining. I guess there was some, I don't know, data to show that restaurants and bars, you know, have been kind of the cause of the increase. As a spectator, I can agree with him there. I've walked by some restaurants and some bars that have been, you know, OD packed. Even though there was this 25% guideline, some of these spaces clearly was not following the guidelines. And I guess, unfortunately, now they're going to be shut down. And I know that there's been a lot of craziness going around. I saw a clip of a situation that took place in Staten Island the other day where a bar owner declared himself autonomous, had a huge rally. No one was wearing a mask to basically declare that, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. No one's going to shut them down and that they're autonomous, right? They, you know, the rules don't apply to them while standing in front of an American flag. It's crazy because Trevor Noah had actually did a whole clip about this. And I think I reposted it on my According to RP page, just talking about, you know, white privilege, right? And how it's just such a good thing to be white, right? When it comes to these situations, because the law does not apply to you. I think in that particular setting, what was even crazy was that the bar owner ran over a police officer with his car. And he was arrested and was released with no bail, right? And at this point, the court case is still pending, but he has all faith that he will beat this charge. The crazy part about this, even more so, is that this was all on video. So there's no, like, the evidence will show. The evidence did show. We saw you try to run over the police officer on several occasions and nothing happened to you. You know, I guess the benefits of being white in America. But this, you know, closing of the bar situation, I know it's not going to be taken lightly, particularly, you know, because of the fact that we are heading into Christmas season. So now a lot of these restaurateurs, these bar owners, in which this is their job, right? This is their livelihood. A lot of these servers and bussers who are looking forward to working probably up and unto and through Christmas to make up for, you know, the times that things were shut down, to be able to purchase Christmas gifts for their family members, probably will have to kind of put a pause on Christmas. So as much as I understand the reasoning for Cuomo's decision, because the coronavirus is real, it's really such a crappy time for him to have done that, literally 2 weeks before Christmas, right? So I don't know. Times are getting, it's getting crazy. A lot of craziness happening in these streets right now. The talk of the vaccine. I just got a notification earlier this morning that the FDA has approved the emergency use or the emergency, I guess, appeal or whatever from Pfizer to start deploying the corona vaccination, and it's making its way, you know, to New York. I think it's new. It's not New York, but New York is part of it, obviously, but meaning the United States, I think London and some other countries, Canada. So it's going to be shipped. I think as of tomorrow or sometime this week, the vaccinations will be shipped. to a city near you. Now, how they're going to be disseminated? No idea whatsoever. I have no idea what the plan is. All I know is, as for me in my house, we will not be taking this vaccination. A lot of my friends have said the same thing. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to have my brother, my youngest brother, Fred Pierre. He's been on this show before, probably about a year and a half ago, maybe. But today he's going to come on. And he's going to talk about, you know, his thoughts on what's going on in the world today. You know, the Corona Chronicles, right? This we're still living in a pandemic episode. And, you know, how he's been able to operate, especially during the holidays. Now, we come from big families. We haven't been able to really celebrate with anybody. And he's living at home with my mom, who's, you know, elderly. My uncle, who's has cancer, and so how his movements have been restricted, and just a lot of other things. So definitely keep it locked. Stay tuned as my brother and I engage in our candid, honest conversations, you know, about, I guess, what's going on, how we're going through this pandemic. But before we get on to the meat of the show, you know that I always have time for my preliminaries. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
I've been on fleek. Is it lit?
And it's gonna be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary, I guess it's a word or a phrase, I don't know, of the week is 21, but it's the number 21. So I don't know. Are we calling that a word or a phrase? What are we doing? Either way, 21, the age at which one is finally considered human. I find that to be very interesting that that's how they depict that. I mean, I understand 21 is the age where you are probably considered more so an adult, right? In the eyes of, I don't know, the government, society. But 21, you know, especially those of us who live in these African, Caribbean homes, 21 really means nothing. It means nothing. It does not mean the age in which you finally are considered a human. If you are still living home with your parents, you are still considered whatever the hell they want you to be. If it's an animal, if it's a child, 21 doesn't really hold much weight in Black households. I know it holds a lot of weight, I guess, in white households because, you know, it's the legal age of drinking and all this other stuff. But I think the reason that 21 is really not considered anything big for us too in the Black community is because a lot of us started drinking since we were probably 3 or 4 years old, when our parents would let us take a little sip of something. And so the age of drinking is not really a big thing for us. But I thought it was quite interesting where, you know, they say this is the age that you are finally considered human, because I really don't think that that's the case. I mean, at the age of 18, you are considered an adult to go to war, right? There are certain things that you have the right to do at the age of 18, like vote, right? 21, I think all I've ever really heard associated with this 21 is that you can drink legally. Like, you can get into a bar and show your ID and can legally drink. Like, that's really all I see when it comes to the age of 21. However, this is what was submitted to Urban Dictionary this week, and the person kept themselves anonymous, so I cannot make commentary on their screen name. But 21, that is the word, number, I don't know, phrase of the week. So now it is time for the Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. Before I even go to this week's Haitian Creole word, I want to revisit last week's Haitian Creole phrase of the week. And it was, for those of you who missed it, or for those of you who need to hear it one more time, allo ki jan ou ye. Allo ki jan ou ye. Which means, hello, how are you? So now this week, naturally, I'm going to give you the response. So the response to allo ki jan ou ye is moi bien. Moi bien means I'm fine. So putting it all together from last week and what we're learning this week, allô, qui Jean ouye? You reply, moi bien. All right? So moving forward, I am still trying to find the perfect intro for this section. I have it in my brain, but I'm not trying to infringe on any copyrights here. So I'm trying to figure it out. But hopefully next week there will be a nice little introduction, intro music to this piece. But either way, we're moving forward, upward and onwards, to the big up of the week.
Watch it! And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up.
So this week's big up of the week goes to the state of Connecticut, as they are the first state to require Black and Latinx studies be included in high school curriculums. So Governor Ned Lamont unveiled the new law, which comes as a result of the Public Act 19-12 he signed in 2019, which results in all regional and local boards of education to provide an elective course for students to learn about Black, Puerto Rican, and Latino contributions to the country's history as well as its culture. I feel like this is so important, but I am also quite interested in how Connecticut became the first state to make such requirements, right? Connecticut is kind of like a posh, stush, rich-ish state, right? Obviously, they have their hoods and things like that, but I would not expect this from the state of Connecticut. At least I would not expected them to be the first. I would have expected, I don't know, New York maybe. I don't know, maybe California. These states that have like so much culture and so many, I don't know, immigrants, you know, Latin immigrants, right? And just, you know, a lot of rich Black culture. I mean, we have whole Harlem, right? Which is like the whole Harlem Renaissance is like right here. New York. I don't know. There's just so many things that I could point to the state that would have made us a great candidate to be the first. But either way, we're not. And Connecticut is paving the way. So I'm hoping now that, you know, every state follows in the shoes of Connecticut. I think it's really important to have this as part of the curriculum. And I would say that although, you know, high school, it's great, I feel like in elementary school, right, as soon as the kids hit the door, there should be some sort of class or programming or whatever that talks about the contributions of Blacks outside of, I don't know, Black History Month when they talk about the same damn people who invented the same damn things. Like, it's the same three people that invented the same three things. Like, there's so many different things that Black people have invented, like everyday household items, like things that make our lives, you know, I don't know, so simple that they don't talk about these things. They only talk about like the two people that invented things. I don't know. So I think that although, yes, I'm going to take the win where I can take it. High school is great, but we should really push to have Black and Latin studies as part of the curriculum, even from elementary school, because Blacks and Latinos, Latinx, however they're calling it, have contributed so much to this country's development that it's crazy to me that in 2020, it's still not a class or part of the curriculum, right? Outside of, you know, just the conversations of slavery and civil rights and all this other stuff. I feel like there really should be better efforts made to educate not just Black and brown children, but all children as to the contributions of the, you know, Blacks and Latinos in this country. And hopefully, you know, at teaching it at such a young age, maybe that could possibly curb some of the racism and racial inequity that we are seeing in this country. But that's just a thought. That's just me. But kudos to you, Connecticut, for being the first state. Very shocked, but kudos to you regardless. So with every high, you guys know that there is a low. And this week's low goes to none other than Dr. Fauci. And the reason I say this is because, one, I mean, not a very, very big fan of Dr. Fauci to begin with, because I feel like there's just something sinister about him. But recently he came on and did like a little interview where he says black people should take the COVID vaccine because a black woman developed it. And it's the way that he said it too. He was just like addressing the black community saying, when you guys take it, you should be proud because a black woman helped develop it. He didn't say if you take it. He said when you take it. And it's quite interesting because I was looking at a lot of comments during the week with respect to this statement of Dr. Fauci. And one comment really struck, right? It really stuck to me. Since when have white people been so quick to acknowledge and to give credit to black people for the things that they invent or create, right? It is 2020 and I'm still finding out new things that black people have invented in this country. So for me to sit here and see Dr. Fauci addressing the black community, telling us that when we take it, we should be proud because a black woman developed it. I don't understand this. I've never seen any type of commentary or any type of statement where, you know, I don't know, the president or some sort of, you know, high ranking official in the health department says, hey, white people, you guys should be so excited to take this vaccine or to take this drug because so and so created it or a white person created it. I've never seen such tomfoolery and such mess occur. Like it's like only black people. They only do this stuff to us. They only try us. I've never seen, like they would never address the Indian community and say, Indians from India. So I'm not being, you know, I know there's this whole thing about Native Americans. I'm talking about Indians from India, right? Indian people, South Asian people, right? You guys should be so excited to take this vaccine or to take this drug because guess what? An Indian or a South Asian person is the one that created it. You don't see this type of mess. You don't hear this type of rhetoric. You don't. Only to the black community does white people feel comfortable making such statements and addressing us in such a manner. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And so womp womp to him, because I really don't know where, I mean, I do know where he's coming from with this, right? He's trying to get us to take the vaccine. He's trying to get the black community, because he knows that the black community is very, very skeptical about taking this vaccine, about the government issuance of it. And he's trying to find, it's like they're grasping at straws. Like, how can we convince the black people, the Negroes, to take this vaccine? Oh, let's let them know a black person had something to do with it. At that point, then they're going to run to come and take it. Well, sorry to let you know, Mr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, that's not the case. I don't really care if my mother developed the vaccine. I don't even care if Sideshow Bob created the vaccine. I don't care if Obama himself had hands in creating this vaccine. I'm not taking it. It doesn't matter who created it. What matters to me is the fact that this virus has been on and popping for 10 months. You still don't know the intricacies of this virus. People are dying left from right after recovering months later because of complications and long-term effects. And you want me to just willingly give you my arm or my leg or wherever you're going to jab your needle and sit down and accept this vaccination? Are you kidding me? I refuse to be injected into something that only for 10 months you guys have possibly been, I don't know, investigating. When we all know, and science tells us, that about what, like 5 years maybe plus it takes for a vaccine to really be fully vetted, right? To truly be vetted. From what I understand, and I could be wrong because I don't read everything, this vaccination has been, you know, tested on individuals who are healthy, right? I would like to know, how does this vaccination fare on individuals who are immunocompromised, individuals who are very, very high risk, and not because you're in a high risk category, but because you have pre-existing conditions that, you know, like, I don't know, lung cancer or different respiratory issues and different autoimmune issues. How did those individuals fare? Did you test them? And if so, are they still alive? Where is the data? right? So there's so much more that needs to be understood. And I think that what really scares me is the whole long hauler part. I have seen countless reports of individuals who were healthy, not like, oh, I had diabetes and I caught the COVID and I got over it and now I have all these issues. Healthy individuals who were runners, active, vegans, who caught the coronavirus and months later now have neurological issues, right? To the point where doctors don't even know how to treat their newfound symptoms. And yet you want me to sit here and get injected by this coronavirus vaccine. I think not. Go back to the drawing board. It's a very long, drawn out spiel. Either way, it is now time for the meat of the show.
You are listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.
WJMSradio.com. Thank you.
All right, everyone. I'm here with my very special guest, Fred Pierre, my little brother. Fred, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
So I had mentioned earlier on in the show that you were, you know, previous guest on the According to RP platform about, what, maybe a year and a half ago?
Yeah. I think maybe once or twice.
Possibly twice. I know definitely once. We had a conversation about, you know, your personal stuff that you were going through a while back and how you kind of overcame it and things like that. But today we're going to talk about something, I guess, a little different, still personal though.
You love to get personal.
I do love to get personal because, you know, the family is hilarious.
Wendy Williams over here now.
Oh gosh. So Fred, there are a lot of new followers from the last time you were on here. So just tell us a little bit about who you are and what do you do?
I am, of course, your younger brother. I am one you say is like a jack of all trades, but I predominantly focus in media and visual production. Of course, because of COVID, everybody's shut in. So, you know, right now I'm home taking care of the family, making sure everybody's okay, paying the bills still, and enjoying, you know, little side hobbies that I do, like, you know, engineering and gaming, a lot of gaming.
Okay, cool. So, you know, what I wanted to really get into this conversation is just kind of some of the craziness that's going on in these streets with respect to COVID, right? We're like, what, I don't know, 10, 11 months into this pandemic. And, you know, when it first started, I think everybody was on total high alert, right? But then as time has gone on, people have, you know, I guess, lowered their guard a little bit. But now, New York City, it looks like we're about to be going on to, I don't know, another lockdown. I mean, what are your thoughts on what's happening now? Like, how have you been dealing with, you know, this COVID period, living at home with elderly parents and, you know, having that restrict your movements and things like that?
Honestly, COVID has taught me a lot, you know, how to enjoy myself and, you know, love myself and be cool with not having to be around a lot of people. But I've always been almost like a homebody, to contrary belief, you know. A lot of my friends say I'm outgoing, but I like to be more homebody. And so it helped me grow with my family, spend time with them, learn how to love them, spread more positivity instead of negativity, because being cooped up in a home with somebody long enough, you know, every single day, after a while, you know, a little thing that they do will annoy you, and then vice versa. And so it can cause a lot of tension. But I decided, you know, because I seen that happening and there was a negative atmosphere, and I said, you know, that's not healthy. So I started to, you know, commit myself to telling, you know, my mother and my uncle how, you know, great they look and how much I love them, almost to the point where it'd be smothering them, but I wanted that atmosphere. And so it's been a lot more peaceful home here, you know, and that's what it taught me. It taught me how to love people more and not judge people so quick, but to look at myself, you know, because you reflect on yourself a lot during
now,
these times.
That all sounded so beautiful. I want to know, though, how has it been living with mommy?
Oh, I'll tell you.
Over the it last
is it's a roller coaster. Even just now, I wanted to spaz. Like earlier, we were just talking, and she kind of spazzed on me, and it living with her at first was getting me aggravated, almost to a point where I was like, you know, I'm out of here. But one thing one of my cousins told us, Mark, and he told me this a while ago, and he was like, Fred, you're, you know, because like a lot of people say, yo, you are a single male, why are you living there? Mm-hmm. But then Mark made it like this, Fred, right now you don't have somebody in your life. And it's true, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have nobody in my life. And he's like, but you have your mother and your uncle there who are very like helpless right now. It would kind of be wrong for you to leave them and leave them helpless when you can be that helping hand. And mm-hmm. so I was like, you know what? I'm not going to leave here because one, I could save money. Two, I really need to be there for them because they do. They're getting older. And I've noticed things now. I've noticed that like it's not that they're getting dumber or anything like that. But it's like when you get older, you slip. There's mm-hmm. slips, mm-hmm. there's lacks. There's things that they do and they don't even realize, like leaving a stove on with propane. They normally wouldn't do that, but because they're older, it slips. It's like they're almost like a child now. And so I have to be there. You know, every time I hear something fall, I got to run up and say, hey, what's going on? Because it could be a slip. Mm-hmm. And so it's taught me now, like, you know, that more, now I have to put myself more in a responsible position. I can't be like, you know, like before. I know you talked about personal life. I used to indulge in a lot of, you know, drugs and things. I don't do that anymore because now I'm like, I need to be more focused. I need to be here for them because anything can happen at any time. I don't go out because I don't want to be the reason why I wasn't at home and they got hurt. I don't go out and interact with people because I don't want to be the reason why one of them gets sick and, you know, Lord forbid, pass from COVID. Mm-hmm. So that's what it taught me. It taught me responsibility. Now, it's not about me only. It's about the people around that you affect. And what do you care about more? What do you love more? Your present fun of going out? Or do you love your family? And that's what it taught me. Do you, you know, do you love your life? That's what COVID taught me.
I think that that's really important to say because I know that there's a lot of people who, you know, they're home having to live with their parents, you know, either because COVID took their job away or because they were already living at home and they had plans to move out and all these other things. And now mm-hmm. that they're home, it's like, you know, they feel like their life, you know, it's already like being affected because of COVID. But even, mm-hmm. you know, as people were going out, right, going to get a drink real quick at an indoor dining spot or hanging out with some friends at the park, because they were living at home with their relatives, their mother, father, uncles, or whoever it is that might be, you know, either immunocompromised or just elderly and considered high risk, they felt that it was like the almost the end of the world because it's like they have no life because of the people that, you know, because they're living with people and nobody wants to be responsible, like you said, mm-hmm. for killing your grandmother, right? Or being mm-hmm. the cause of your parent being in the hospital because you wanted to mm-hmm. go hang out with friends. But I think that your perspective is very, you know, one that's very clear and sound that during a time like this, we are in a global pandemic. It is unprecedented times. And yes, would it be great for you to be able to go grab that quick drink and leave your house and have a little bit of freedom? Of course. Mm-hmm. But what's more important, the life of your family or that one drink that you had to go get?
Exactly. And you can innovate. Like, you can innovate. Like, if we were to go through, or we most likely are going to go through a second major lockdown, I wouldn't be sad as long as the government, you know, supports us like they did the first time around. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, looking back at it now in retrospect, I had mad fun. Why? Because, you know, once in a while, I'd go grab me a drink, but I would be online because everybody was on social media. Everybody was on Facebook. Everybody was on Instagram. Everybody was chatting. Everybody was going live because everybody was so bored. But then it had a way for us to all interact. It was like a fast version of having pin pals. You know mm-hmm, what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, we were all interacting. People were watching some of my lives. People were watching some of my music. It helped me be creative because I was like, oh, people are liking it. And I know people were probably feeling about that with their art and the other things that they do. Mm-hmm. And so being on lockdown, like I said, it helps us like dig deep within ourselves and do things, you know, with the luxury of not being distracted by the world. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of us don't have time to focus on little hobbies that we do that make us happy, because we're so caught up in a work that we have to go to and travel to. But now, since we're stuck at home, some of us have the luxury of working at home, or, you know, God bless, have government assistance where they can stay home, be responsible with the money you're getting, and now have the freedom to be, you know, have your leisure and indulge in the hobbies that you like and things that make you happy and trying new things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that for me, being able to work from home, I don't even know how I will ever be able to go back to work at a building, because like you were saying, you know, it allows you time, right? And so when you had to make it to work for 9 o'clock in the morning, you got to wake up at like 6 a.m. or maybe even 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. depending. Like, that takes away from personal time that you could be spending to meditate or to think or to even just relax a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You know, having to deal with that morning commute, dealing with other people, you know, just being in a very like rushed way. Now mm-hmm. it's like, you know, you have work at 9, you can legit get up out of your bed at like 8 and mm-hmm. still have 30 minutes to meditate or to pray or to even exercise. You know what I mean? So it's like, it, and I feel like people are much more productive because they have this ability to either work from home. Mm-hmm. That they can spread things out a little bit. Because we all know when we were working in an actual space, nobody started work at 9. You had to walk around. You had to go get coffee. You had to, you know, you had to like mm-hmm. waste time. And like by the
Train
time
your
you,
mind into it.
Exactly. By the time you really started work, it was like 10 o'clock, 10:30, if you really think about it. But now mm-hmm. I think people are able to be productive. And because you're at home, you don't even mind answering that email that comes in at 7 o'clock, right? Because it's like you don't feel as if you're being so pulled the way you were before, because you're not mm-hmm. commuting to come home anymore. You're home. So mm-hmm. I think people have been much more productive in their work. Like, oh, I can do this at 2 o'clock in the morning and actually get things done and get ahead of the game because you're in the comfort of your own bed or your own desk or your own couch. So yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you there that it's given us a lot of time to really be productive and to mm-hmm. be creative.
Yeah. And now, and I also think about it, it's interesting because now I'm like, I like to think of things all from all aspects. And it's like we're both talking because we're both like savvy in that area where we can do things like that. But then now I'm like thinking about, okay, but what about the bus driver? What about the, you know, the construction worker? What about the people that have to be in areas that are tight like that? You mm-hmm. know, now we're wondering what can we do, or what can society do then to benefit them in this pandemic? Because if they can't be benefited, it's still going to spread, because that's a big number still that has to be working somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Teachers can still do Zoom and things like that, but a lumberman, a bricksman, you know, who has to be all up in buildings and all up around other people, you know what I'm saying? And now you're dealing with people who you don't know where they've been. So it's like there's still a good chunk of people who can't be at home.
Yeah.
Their trade forbids them.
Yeah. And that's true too. I mean, look at the medical professionals, right? We have a lot of nurses and doctors in our family that are in the thick of the COVID in these hospitals and things like that. But, you know, just even now, I don't know if you saw, but as of tomorrow, indoor dining is suspended in New York City. So, you know, I had actually went, I think it might have been Friday or whatever. I had stopped by a space that I tend to love eating in there. It was still warm and, well, it wasn't warm, but warm enough where you could still sit outside. But the busser was just like, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, this indoor dining thing, you know, was kind of saved us, right? After the shutdown, the initial shutdown happened, you know, them being allowed to come back and work, it kind of saved them. And now 2 weeks before Christmas, they are now told restaurateurs and bussers and waitresses and stock people and all these other individuals within that, you know, indoor dining world, or that restaurant world rather, it's going to be put to an end, which means that restaurants are going to have to lay people off again. right before Christmas. And it's crazy because I know a lot of people were looking forward to this, you know, indoor dining thing continuing so that they can afford Christmas for their families and to continue paying bills.
We're just going to have to hope that. I don't know anything about the, you know, what's the new bills coming out. I don't know nothing about it, so I can't speak on it. But what I hope is involved in it is like another plan for like, you know, temporary payment forgiveness, you know, monthly for mortgages, because when this hits again, you know, this, when we're on lockdown again, at least in New York City, you know, people aren't going to be able to pay rent.
Yeah.
Again.
And that's the part. I mean, people are still unable to pay rent because of the COVID hole, I call it, that they were in for so many months. And unemployment, you know, they had cut off that extra $600 like in like July. Mm-hmm. So it's been several months that people were only making maybe what, $200 to $400 a mm-hmm. week in New York City. And so, you know, I think on one of the episodes I had talked about different ways that we could lend support, those of us who are working from home and are gainfully employed, how we can support a lot of these local restaurants and bars and whatnot. And although the indoor dining is going to get shut down, you know, that still doesn't stop us from doing takeout and from ordering and finding different ways to maybe create funds for these, mm-hmm. you know, restaurant and bar workers who are going to literally be asked out for Christmas.
And it's kind of like, when you think about it, though, it's like, how do we even order takeout? Because say now there's regulations that have only 6 employees and you got like 100 people ordering 6 employees.
I mean, rough. It's going to, well, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a slowdown, right? So mm-hmm. I don't know. So there's that I really hope that people do take some time, as we are, whether you celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, I don't know, Kwanzaa, and whatever other things that people celebrate, or even if you don't celebrate anything period, but you are, you know, in the holiday spirit, like, let's, you know, take some time to really think about those who are really going to be affected, right, by these shutdowns. Although they're necessary, I think that people were wilding out when it came to the restaurant and the bars. I personally seen restaurants that looked like they were in full capacity and bars. So I get why King Cuomo is doing this. But it still sucks for the people, you know, who work in these industries. So I really hope that those of us, again, who are able and are gainfully employed can find different ways to support our local restaurants as they go through another hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. It's going to be really, really rough. But so I want to move the conversation on to the vaccination, right? I don't know if you saw the Dr. Fauci video that was circulating on how he was addressing the Black community, stating that when you guys take this vaccine, a Black person created it, so y'all should be happy. Like, I know, I don't actually, maybe 3 people who have said that they'll take this vaccine, right? But out of everybody that I know, 3 people is nothing, right? So the overwhelming majority of the people that I know, friends, family, even acquaintances, have said that they have no intention of taking the vaccine. What are your thoughts on it? Like what do you think is going to happen with all of this?
One, I don't believe I need to take the vaccine, as long as I do proper protocol to not, you know, receive any coronavirus. Reason being is because I have many, many reasons. First is because, like, just like, for example, whenever you put out something, you never get the first edition of it, or the first version. Mm-hmm. You always wait to see who test drives it, whether it's like cars. You always see, that's why they have, like, they'll come out with a Camry, but then a few months later, it'll come out with the same Camry, but it's a different edition, because they found out the bugs in it and fixed it. So you never take anything, you know, you never get anything. Just like the new PlayStation 5. You won't buy it right now because in a couple of months, there's going to be a different version of it because they fixed the bugs in the one that they had released. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about the vaccine. 2, they say you take the flu vaccine every year. it's probably been over a decade since I've taken the flu vaccine. I've never got the flu. So I know that that's, you know what I mean? The vaccination is just them putting a little bit of what that is into you so that your body gets immune to it. If I didn't need that shot for over a decade and I still didn't get it, why do I need you to put a little bit of it in me so that I don't get it when I'm not already getting it? If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Why fix something? Why try to fix something if it's not broken? You get what I'm saying? So I don't need that. Then I'm not too big on what the media says, because truth nowadays can be like a lie or a truth. You know what I mean? It could be authentic or fictional. So with that being said, I've seen something online that said, and my friend texted me about it, said, oh, somebody who got the vaccination received Bell palsy. Now, with that being said, I just came from having Bell palsy, but I got it from stress, the doctor says, and the lack of sleep. And now I'm finally healing, which is after like 2 weeks of having it. I don't wish that upon anybody. So if that vaccination gives you that, that's something that can be permanent. Why? Like, it's like, okay, I could get COVID or I could have my face messed up for a long time, which alters your eating and your speaking and your drinking. That's not wavy. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like, what are you guys doing? You guys are just pushing us this quick thing.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah. I think that that's what a lot of people, and I had just talked about this in my Womp Womp of the Week of Dr. Fauci, that, you know, this is the part that's really, really so, you know, concerning, is that this vaccine just popped out literally like yesterday. And the coronavirus pandemic has not even been in full effect, you know, on the official books for a full year yet. And so we're talking about in less than a year, there has been this investigation / research into this coronavirus vaccine. But yet we still don't understand what the effects of coronavirus is, right? And a lot of healthy people have caught the virus and have gotten over the virus, but yet the lasting effects, the neurological effects, are now presenting themselves in a lot of these people. Like, they call them the long haulers. And
I know people that have had coronavirus. I'm just like, guy, we got to be, you know, 6 feet apart. We can't, you know, like, I can't even go near you because you might have the residue.
Yeah, it's like,
I mean, that's how crazy it is.
And there's so, and that's the thing, like, that could be a thing and that might not be a thing, but we really don't know. They still don't know enough. You know, at one point in the beginning, they were saying that, oh, if you caught COVID once, you can't catch it again. And that's not the case, right? Mm-hmm.
It's not the chicken pox.
It's not the chicken pox.
So, it's when it comes to the vaccination, I will not be one of the early takers, at least. And if it's getting to a point where bodies are dropping every day now, but you know what I mean? When it starts getting very, like, when it's clicking to you where you're like, maybe I should take this vaccination, that's when I'll take the vaccination.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's kind of how, like, if I have to take it, it's probably going to be a couple years from now. But I think the problem a lot of people are facing is what happens if it becomes mandatory, like if the state says it's mandatory or if your job says it's mandatory. And a lot of those in the medical field, they're the ones I'm more so concerned about, because, you know, a lot of them have to take the flu vaccine or the flu shot every year because it's a requirement of their job. So right now, you know, I've spoken to some of my nurse friends and family, and they say that it's not mandatory for them to take the vaccine when it becomes available to them. But I'm pretty sure that at some point it will be. And so, you know, now the question is, what are we, like, what's going to happen to us, those of us who do not want to take the vaccine? Are we going to be shunned from society? Like, what's really going to happen?
Well, I know for me, I'm only speaking for myself, if that was to happen, I feel like I'm well-versed enough internet-wise to make money and work via home. Now, when it comes to buying food, thank God, Amazon just started, Uber Eats does grocery shopping for you now. Like, there's ways for you to get around it. If you want, it's going to be costly, possibly, but there's ways around. You can legit just stay home and take care of everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you just got to know that you're going to be isolated from society. Is that what you really want? Because even though staying home is safe, isolating yourself from society is unhealthy because we are created to be a community,
mm-hmm.
and we always should, every once in a while, commute amongst each other or congregate amongst each other.
Mm-hmm.
And lack of congregation is unhealthy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember when the virus first started and all I had was like Jediah and the cat and I didn't see anybody. And I know that the moment that I saw like Stephanie from the outside, like 6 feet apart, I was just like, oh my God, like it totally changed my life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. This is going to be very interesting, but I know that a lot of people are concerned because some jobs are already talking about guidelines on how to make this mandatory. And people mm-hmm. are like, they are not with it. And so there is this concern that it's going to be them and, you know, we're going to be the others, right? Yeah, like we won't.
Like, mm-hmm. Keep going. I'm sorry.
No, I was like, we won't be able to participate in like societal things because we're going to be, you know, like with a scarlet S on our chest for those who didn't get a vaccine.
Mm-hmm. So. Just like in Staten Island right now, if you know. There's a part of Staten Island, well, they're saying the whole island, but there's a part mm-hmm. that's very more potent. But Staten Island's rated number 2 of the most, you know, basically coronavirus infected in New York.
That's because y'all don't follow rules over there in Staten Island. I was watching. I talked about it earlier on the show, too. The guy who declared himself autonomous and refused to shut down his bar and had a whole congregation, like they don't believe in masks over there in Staten Island, and they don't believe that this thing is real, and they don't believe that they believe that they're above the law. And so when you have a group of people like that, it's very problematic and it's very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. And they do that. Like, I know, like, this is a small world because I have a friend. He actually would Instagram message me, DM mm-hmm. me invitations prior to this to that bar. And he was like, and I just realized that he's actually part of, like, the admin staff of that bar.
Oh,
like,
wow. So he's part of that culture, wow. The toxic culture.
Mm-hmm. They don't wear a mask over there. There's, even in Staten Island, in the hood area, there's people that don't wear masks, you know, like, all the time. And then there's some who are adamant about wearing masks.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a guy out in Staten Island now who's, like, a very public figure out there, very big public figure. And he is, you know, with the mask. He's like anti not mask. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
Excuse me if I lisp a lot. I'm literally getting over this Bell palsy still.
Which is crazy, right? And that could also be an effect of just the stress of just this whole virus situation, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I think everybody just still has this anxiety about it. Like, every time I leave the house and I come back, I feel like my chest is burning. Because even though I know that I took precautions and the people that I was around might have taken precautions, mm-hmm. the COVID anxiety is real. And now that they're starting to shut things down again and, you know, they're predicting, you know, more shutdowns, like, it's just becoming real. And so I feel like, you know, we all had a taste of the outside, you know, like the outside for a little bit. But now I'm like, how are we really going to feel moving forward? And particularly for me, I'm just like, what's going to happen with those of you guys like yourself who live at home with your parents, you know, with the parents, like, mm-hmm. can we endure another like 6 months of, you know, lockdown with mama?
Yeah, it's rough. The lockdown is rough. And that's one reason why, honestly, and people ask me all the time, what do you do during the pandemic? I used to mess with my music stuff a lot, but now I just game. I put the headphones on and I have like 6 or 7 friends who are in the same position as me, and we just game all day. And we do like productive type of game, like a game called Red Dead Online.
Mm-hmm.
We talk through that. We get to know each other. We're all different and diverse. You know, one's Puerto Rican. One of them's a younger kid, but we kind of like teach them, you know, like, you know, older principles. Because mm-hmm. a lot of us are older. One is a very, very redneck man. We're taking it gentle with him because, you know, we're all minorities.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Getting used to us. But he's really like, and you can tell that he's been through some things in life, like bullied and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it seems like he's slow, but he's there. And so we're taking it easy with him. We're not pushing him to the side. We're teaching him that we're all cool. We're all brothers,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to get him out of that racist mind state. You know, most people would just toss him out. You know, most people are like, yo, I'm not gaming with this guy. I'm not keeping him on the friends list. But no, we took him in, and he actually got in a liking to us where, like, if like he only plays if we're playing.
Yeah, but don't let him be that one white guy who's like, yo, I'm not racist. I got I play with a black guy.
We let him know, though. We let him know. Like, it's one of those things, too, like that. And that's the beauty about virtual online or virtual, like, talking, connecting with people still, is because, like, think of it like this, like, groups of people all chilling together in one party, right? Think of it as, like, a real life, we're all standing together at a bar. And we're all chatting. And, you know, the friends are changing, but some people here think that they don't like, and we're all still chatting. What some of our friends will do, like my friend, he's Puerto Rican. He takes, you know, he's fond of the no homo. He's fond of the redneck guy too, because he sees that the guy has a good heart, but he's just grew up in a bad environment, you know, or a toxic environment. And so what he'll do is he'll take the guy and go into a separate party chat with him, private, and he'll talk to him. He'll be like, yo, you know, da 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 da. I've been through this. I understand why you feel like, but you gotta see it like this. And he like literally like talked to him to the point where now when we're all in the group, I'll hear the redneck guy ask, like when the Puerto Rican ain't there, he's like, hey, where's so and so? What time's he getting on? Like as in like he's looking for him because he feels comfortable and safe around him.
Hmm. Okay,
you know,
well,
because he's been through, like, everybody always has a core issue. Hate, I don't believe hate originates within us. There's always something that happened in situation that caused people to be like that. And from him, I knew it was like that. That's why I didn't judge him. And and if you stay around somebody like that and keep showing love, they'll spew it out. And with his problem was when he was young, he was big, he said, he got bullied a lot. It probably was black people that bullied him. And so now he growing up thinking, oh, F black people. Because that was his encounter and it scarred him. But the whole time it wasn't our fault, yeah, and it's not his fault for even hating us because that was his only encounter until he moves along and meets somebody else, and then he's like, wait a minute, black people ain't really like that. And then he starts seeing the difference between saying, oh, that's why you'll see them saying, oh, that's my friend, but then they'll still, it's like a progression. They'll still eventually judge other black people in a general way, but eventually they'll lose that the more black people they encounter.
Yeah,
you know, like that white girl I had back in the day that I was engaged to, her family was redneck, racist, until they met me. And then it got to a point that even when she went and did her army thing and we were still together and I was just living down there, they would beg me every day to come over for dinner. Like they were like they were like American History X type neo-Nazi people, redneck. And then they completely changed. One on a drunken night gave me a whole speech about how I changed his view on everything. So it's like, we always got to see what the core issue is. What happened to them? Why are they like that? Because hate doesn't originate from within us. Because God created us to be good.
Well, I mean, I definitely agree with a lot of the things that you said. And I mean, I don't believe that hate originates in people. Unfortunately, you know, it's I think it's a product of our environments and communities and things of that nature. So, I mean, I definitely commend you for taking the time. I think that a lot of black people at this point, though, you know, we're just like, it's 2020, information's available. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just tired of having to put people on. Like, at this point, it's like, pick up a damn book, right? Or something, you know, like investigate for yourself. But I think that during this pandemic, a lot of people are just, you know, the virtual connections, I think, have really strengthened. And I think also, shown light on issues. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, think about it, is during this pandemic, we've gotten to yet another race relations issue, right? A race war. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, there's just a lot of different things going on right now. But I think that, you know, the core essence of your statement, I think, resonates with a lot of people. And I think it makes a lot of sense. It's just, you know, we're now in a time where it's hard for people to really, you know, to really take time and acknowledge that because of everything that's going on right now. But
exactly. But also that's why I feel like the pandemic gives us time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're stuck at home. We have time to think about that.
Yeah, that's true.
Time to think about, like, what's really hurting you that make you act like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, and let's try to help heal.
Yeah.
You know, because at heart, you see he's a good person. It's just that he's hurt. He's hurt and he's lashing out in weird ways because he don't know how to lash out in good ways. You know what I mean? You might even go with my mom. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, one night, we were all on the game chat, you know what I mean? And this is, I'm telling you, this is a redneck man. And he knows I'm black. And one night he hears my mommy talking, and I kind of lashed out on mommy in a weird way. And he was like, in his voice, he's like, Freddy, don't talk to your mama like that. I'm like, huh? He's like, you better go apologize. He was mad. He was mad because he was like, yo, he ain't got his mom. He was like, you better straighten up. He didn't see color. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if he didn't see color with me, eventually, hopefully it pours out to other people that he doesn't see color.
Well, that is the hope. You know that is the hope.
And that's the great hope. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's something yeah. at least good to hold on to.
Yeah. You know,
because in these times, it's hard to hold on to something.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, it's hard. It's hard. It's very hard. And I don't even blame anybody who is like, they're tired and they're over it at this point. Cause I think we've just, as a people, as a Black people, we've just gone through so much. So.
Oh yeah.
The hope is I'm that, over you know.
It. I'm definitely over it, but I don't want to I want to intelligently retaliate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to generalize mm-hmm. and be like, you know what I mean? Oh, these people, there's bad berries in that bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's pick out the bad berries.
Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully there are more people of you in this world.
Oh, we mean, have,
you know, because it's a little, you know, it's one of those topics where, because of where we are right now in society, it's just really hard to really even think like that. But I definitely appreciate
exactly.
the perspective, you know.
It's difficult in these times because it's hard, it's dark.
Yeah.
But that's the main reason why we got to be more positive, because we don't need to add any more negativity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel you. Yeah. Oh boy. Well,
sorry about my little happy rant, like positivity rant.
Right? I mean, no, the positivity is important. I think, you know, I mean, we can all benefit from positivity, because there's so much negativity going on. And it looks like with everything happening now with this increased Rona numbers, we're probably going to go back mm-hmm. into a dark space. So I think positivity is definitely where we should, you know, be focused on. And I think it's definitely where I want to leave this show on. I want to leave it on a positive note. Mm-hmm. Just understanding that times are hard, things are hard. And we've been in this situation for, you know, 10 months now, going on 11 months. Mm-hmm. But that if we stay positive and we stay true to ourselves, and we, you know, we continue doing the work within ourselves, and we make the best, you know, out of our situations. And I think that, you know, we'll come out on top, because you know, there's a lot of negativity that I feel is about to happen because of the shutdowns and because of, you know, the increased Corona deaths that are taking place already. So, you know, we're still in the pandemic, but you know,
I feel like we'll be strong, because you said something powerful. It's been almost 11 months. That's a year. That means we've been fighting a year.
Yeah.
We're not losing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now we've gained more knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, we're messing up along the way, because we're looking at everything in present.
Yeah.
But if we look back a year from now, we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
We were running left to right. Now we got rules set in. We're at least having some type of order.
Yeah.
We're progressing through the virus, you know, because it's new.
Yeah.
We're new to this. So we shouldn't be hard on ourselves. We're new to this, and we're just doing the best we can right now.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, then. I'm gonna take that because I think that's really powerful, you know, the fact that this is new. We should not be putting ourselves down. I think a lot of us are mm-hmm. because it's natural for us, right? You don't understand something, you're not sure how to move forward, and you just the best thing to do is to put yourself down. But at least that's what people think. But I think mm-hmm. that's definitely a great point, that we're all moving and maneuvering through all of this, and you know mm-hmm. we're not going to be perfect in our maneuvers. So
it's almost saying there's no right or wrong way. Almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh man. Well, Fred, thank you so much for being a guest on today's show. I know that it was a little last minute for you, but I felt like this conversation was necessary to really just kind of have an open, honest, and candid discussion about the fact that we're still living in a pandemic, and you know, how we're moving, and you know, all these things that are being thrown at us, the vaccinations being forced down our throats, and you know, how real people feel about these real situations. So thank you.
You're welcome. You know, it's all love. It's always a pleasure.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys have an amazing week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
Can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.